You're listening to the Island Church Podcast. If you'd like more information or to donate to this ministry, visit islandchurch.tv.
We closed out with summer celebration last week, and we're going to jump back in to our Gospel of John. And we do this quite often. If you're new to the church, we'll do a few series where we talk about, you know, summer celebration, different subjects. But we do a lot of book studies or just expository type preaching where we just go verse by verse through a book of the Bible. And we started this last year, took some summer break, and we're picking up with it. And when I began to look back at the incredible subjects that we talked about, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the testimony of John. I'm not the Christ, I'm not him, but there's one coming and I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. And then John the Baptist looks up and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." The greatest revelation that any man ever had of Jesus Christ. And then, not only did he recognize Jesus, Jesus came to be baptized, then God rolled back the heavens and spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And the Holy Spirit came down, and we talked about the Spirit-filled life and how Jesus lived his life. The Holy Spirit was present on his life and in his life, and how we need the Holy Spirit power within us. We talked about turning water into wine, the miracle of Jesus' very first miracle. He cleansed the temple. Nicodemus, you must be born again. John 3:16. Can we say it together? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We spent several weeks on the Samaritan woman and how Jesus broke down cultural barriers and racial barriers, and how he showed us the practical steps to reaching out to people in our world. Then he heals the official's son. He heals the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. We talked about the authority of Jesus. Then he feeds the 5,000. Then he walks on water. Then he says, "I'm the bread of life." I mean, is this not an incredible book? Miracle after miracle, story after story of who Jesus is. You know, one of the reasons we're looking at the book of John is so that we, as Christ's followers, have a better understanding of who Jesus is. And 90% of John's gospel is unique to the other gospels. John's Jesus' best friend. It's not John the Baptist, but John is Jesus' best friend, and he gives us insight into Jesus' life that we wouldn't otherwise have. And it's absolutely amazing. And then this leads us on to John chapter 7. And that's where we launch off in our new series in John chapter 7. But I felt strongly, of all these subjects, I thought, what can we build just to kind of, to be a stepping stone from where we've been to where we are going? And I don't know why I get emotional when I even think of this subject, but I go back to this whole idea of Jesus' initiation of this thing that we call church. I go back to John chapter 1 and this whole idea of come and see and follow me. And some of the things that I say in this message will be from the message that we preached on this subject, but we have reworked it. It's a different approach for this specific Sunday, so for some things that I want to share with you of what I believe God wants to do in this church. And I believe God wants to do greater things in this church. You know, we are a comeback church. The enemy did everything possible to annihilate this church. to undermine and to destroy. And there was a leadership crisis, there was staff suicide, there was things that happened at the very beginning and before I got here and then at the beginning of our ministry that literally shook us to the foundation. And it took a lot of just loving and praying and fasting and giving. This church, people vacated, people left faster than you could say Jack Robinson. But there were a number of you that did this. You nailed your foot to the bottom of the ship and you said, if this boat goes down, I'm going down with it. And because of your faithfulness in giving and because of your faithfulness in attendance and your faithfulness in prayer, and then God began to bring people and he began to bring the right people and he began to help us to see people get saved and people start reconnecting with God and people who'd been far from God coming back to God and tons of people relocating. God brought people to be a part and the core, the remnant has continued to expand and God continues to grow us spiritually, emotionally. He continues to grow us financially in missions and in ministry and in being able to provide ministry. And I am convinced that the best is yet to come. So if you're here today, you're not here by accident. And I don't think you just came to be a part of a church. I believe there's something of destiny because I believe this church is a church of destiny because I know where we were 8 years ago and I know where we are now and I know God is making a difference in this community through this lighthouse, through this church, this community called the Island Church. Amen. Amen. So here we are on this Sunday. This first day of the week. We worship on Sunday, Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week, and we continue to worship on the first day of the week, following pattern from the book of Acts, New Testament church. There are Christians meeting all around the world. Christianity is the biggest movement and the longest standing movement of any kind in the history of the world. Jesus Christ is the most popular person to ever live in all of the history of mankind. More songs, more books, more art about Jesus than anyone else. The Bible is the greatest selling book of all time, and it continues year after year after year to be the greatest selling book every year. There is nothing as big as the church of Jesus Christ. Billions of followers, nations, languages, tribes, tongues, types of people. It is massive and nothing compares to this church, this New Testament church that we happen to be a part of. One has to think, has to ponder, where did this all begin? How did it all begin? And we're gonna see this morning and build this foundation, and this is a message really of It's a New Year's message, if you will. But I believe school season we run calendar-wise with school runs. I believe it's a timely message. I don't think it's a rerun. I think it's fresh off the press for what God wants to speak to us about where we are going and what God is doing. How did Jesus start this whole thing? A very humble man with a very humble ministry. And it's this Christ following, pursuing after him and his church that we are a part of. I want us to look, there's a number of scriptures here and it'll be on the screen. you can follow on the screen, watch that, or if you have your Bible, your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you might be following along on, your notes, if you can follow along on your notes online, you see in the program how to do that, or just watch real close, but I want you to hear these words, John 1, 35 through 51. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. That was John the Baptist. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say, and they followed Jesus. Now, that was Andrew, and it was John the Beloved, not John the Baptist, John the Beloved. And Jesus turned and saw them and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said, "Come and you will see." And they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two heard John speak and followed Jesus, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah." I'm not going to go into this, but it's interesting. We know a lot about Peter. We don't know as much about Andrew, but Andrew is the one who went and got his brother Peter. And there's something about family reaching out to family here that is really powerful, and it is interesting. Andrew, you never read that he gets upset that his brother became more popular than he did, so to speak, but yet he's the one who brought Peter to the Lord. He brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked and said to him, "You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of God." Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said, "Come and see." And so I love that, because you got family reaching out to family. Now you got a friend reaching out to a friend, talking about Jesus. "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there's no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You're the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, said, "Because I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe?" A lot of people think that he was doing something wrong under the fig tree. He was really seeking under the fig tree. He was trying to figure out, pursuing truth, wanted to know. And Jesus saw his heart and saw there's no deceit. Some of you learned that scripture, there's no guile, there's no deceit. "You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." That is the account of the early ministry of Jesus Christ, and it's an account of how all this New Testament church started. They come to Jesus. He's gathering his followers. Now, here's what's fascinating. What's fascinating is how he did it, because he sets forth a pattern that we can relate to, that we can identify with, and that we can follow in. You know, he didn't say to them, "Hey, guys, I want you to understand something. If you'll follow me, we're going to do some of the most amazing things that you have ever seen. We're going to go water skiing without a boat. We're going to cast out a few demons out of some people. We're going to get in a fight with some religious guys. We're going to turn some water into wine. We're going to go in and I'm going to turn the temple upside down. And then they're going to get mad at me, and they're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. But listen, take heart. Don't be concerned, because in 3 days, I'm going to raise from the dead." And he looks at him. He goes, "Listen, guys, this is all true." But that's not what he did. It is all true, but it's not what he did. What did he do? Jesus says something that's so simple and so profound, and here's how it all starts. And here's where I want us to go. And we're going back to, but we're also coming fresh to. And it's this. The big idea is come and see. Come and see. In John 1:39, he said to them, come and you will see. And they came and saw where he was staying. And in John 1:46, Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Now, church, here's where we're at. We are at one of the greatest points in our church life and in our church history. We've been talking about we're going to make an announcement today, and many of you already know it and figured it out. What is that big announcement? It's this. We believe that God's put his hand on this place. We have seen exponential growth. It's you know, as you track it every week. I think last week we had close to 670 people. A year ago, we had right at 600 people. That's not uncommon for us to be running 50 and 75 people. Percentage-wise, that's amazing. And it happens. It's happened year after year after year, these last three and a half years. If we stay like we are, here's what's going to happen. We're going to be a church of 600 or 700, and that's where we're going to stay. But if we'll take a step of faith, and if we will follow this biblical pattern, I believe God, I pray for every Bible preaching church. I realize this isn't a church. You hear me say it. This is not the church for everyone. You need to pray and determine, is this where God wants you to be? Then you need to get plugged in. Make a connection. Be involved with your time, your talent, your tithe, and become a kingdom builder. And see, that's what's happened with multitudes of people. Amen? And I believe that God wants to use us to take these next steps. So, starting on October 13th, everybody say October 13th, we're launching 3 Sunday morning services. All right. I love it. It's a step of faith. You say, Pastor, there's seats around. I know it, but in the next service, there's not. And we're growing. And when we hit January and snowbirds come, and last year, whenever that happens, we can't even get everyone into a service. We got to do something. And so by faith, we're starting a third service. Now, that's going to affect us. And it's going to cause some stretching, and it's going to make us get involved, and it's going to make us participate a little bit more. And so on October 13th, we're going to have an 8:15 service. And then we're going to have a 9:30 service. And then we're going to have 11 o'clock service. And we pick those times strategically. You say, well, that first service is shorter. We're intentionally doing away with some of the video and announcements, and we're going to do word and worship, and we figured out that we can do the exact same amount of worship, and we can have the exact same amount of preaching. And so for all of you people that thought, we're going to have a miracle in that first service, we're working on that. And so we're going to need some folks to come at 8:15. We're going to need some folks that are going to come at 9:30. These are different hours from our 8:30 and 10 o'clock. And 9:30 is where a lot of people's gonna gravitate. So we're gonna need some folks that will, for 6 months, say, hey, I'll be a part of that 11 o'clock. We didn't go 8:30, 10, 11:30. We live at the beach. We can't, 11:30, no one's at, come, at 11 o'clock, we can grow that. But if we don't make opportunity to reach more people, we're gonna stay right where we are at. And if we're going to stay where we're at, you got the wrong pastor, and I think we're the wrong church for that. Because I think our DNA is about loving God and loving people and reaching people and making a difference in our community and making a difference in the kingdom of God. Amen. So In your bulletin, there's a sheet that talks about participation. Pastor Matt, Pastor Brandon have done an incredible job of how we can organize ushers and greeters and parking lot people to work one and worship one so that it's not gonna be all day, all morning. But I'm asking everyone who calls this home, I'm asking you to make a little bit of sacrifice, maybe in your time as far as what service, and to make a little bit of sacrifice in saying, I'll do something extra. I will be involved. I will work in the nursery. I will help in children's ministry. I will usher. I will be one of the experience team. I will be in the parking lot. I will hold a sign. I will be an intercessor. I will be a part of what God wants to do. Amen. So how's that going to happen? How is God going to do this? Like, go back to this. He's going to do it the way he started it, the way his plan was, and it was a come and see ministry. A lot of people think ministry is what I do or what Luke does or Pastor Luke or Pastor Matt, Pastor Philip, Pastor Michelle, what Liz does. A lot of people think that ministry is studying and teaching. And that happens, but it's really, that's a small part. It's what I love. It's really what I live for is these Sunday morning, but that's only a small part of ministry. Ministry is this. It's usually people who are living their lives as a Christ follower, and they have a passion for people just like Jesus. And they are inviting people to come and see what God is doing in their life and in their church. Two things. We didn't look at it so much in that way, but I want us to look at those two things. Come and see what God's doing in our life. And come and see what God is doing in our church. John 1:39, come and see. John 1:46, come and see. He starts this whole thing out by saying, guys, I want you to come and hang out with me. It was the 10th hour. It was late in the afternoon. Why don't you just stay? The kingdom of God is largely relational. We live in a society as the church grows, as services are added, it's so easy for people just to come in and come out and not be known and not get involved. But the kingdom of God, church is about relationships. And it must be intentional. And that's why we have the groups, the Bible studies, the home groups, Celebrate Recovery, the things that we do, the steak nights, the women's retreats. It's about building relationship. It's about doing life together. And that's the way Jesus started his church, with 12 guys doing life together. Come and see. And that's something that all of us can do. It's something we must do. Our lives are busy. 21st century living is different. It's hard. It's demanding, and especially living on this island, and we come from all over this region, and you have to make a lot of intentional decisions and effort to be put forth. We're so consumed here on this island with our recreation. We're so consumed with sports. We're so consumed with work. And everything that we do is in conflict with the kingdom of God. And you hear me say over and over, don't build your life around your family or around your work. You build your life around God. Build your family around God. Build your marriage around God. Bring your kids with you. Amen? Instead of chasing them, bring them. Because this is the foundation your children need. And how many times do people come, oh, Pastor, I need help. But they didn't build a foundation, and I'm not here to bring condemnation. I'm just saying I'm going to reach, and I think everybody understands, I'm trying to reach some folks who have, still have the opportunity to build your life around the kingdom of God, the foundation of God. You've heard me say this. There is a 0.0296% chance that your kid's going to make it in professional sports. There's a 100% chance they're going to stand before God. And I will make sure that I poured spiritually, a foundation spiritually. I don't say that in arrogance. I lived, ate, and slept sports. My dad coached my teams all the way up till I was in junior high, and then coaches take over. And my life concerning junior high, high school, and college was consumed with sports. The only reason I kept my grade point up in college was just to play basketball. But I will tell you, in the midst of all the sports, and my dad was right in the middle of it all, he took the responsibility to say, as for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. Boy, get in the car, we're going to church. Build your life, build your family around the kingdom of God. Then these relationships, you know, we learn so much. Absorb so much from people. If God could just help us to listen to people rather than always thinking what I'm gonna say next, but just to hear people, to be with people, and to love people. Some people say, Pastor, I don't think I have anything to offer, anything to teach. And I don't think I just don't think a lot of people understand how much God has done in your life. You don't maybe understand how different your life is because of Jesus. How different your life is from the way other people may live their life. Come and see. Come and see. Watch me. Think about it every day. People are watching me. How I love my wife. How I hold my wife's hand. How I honor my wife. How I never make Liz the butt of any joke. But I always honor and esteem her. Hold her up. Act like she, and I believe she is, the greatest girl in the whole world. There's no one else. Love her as Christ loved the church. Faithful and loyal. Wives, respecting, honoring, loving your husband. People to see that you love your kids. Listen, no one has it all together. Parenthood is ultimate discipleship. Every kid is different, and we pray, God, give us the keys to our baby's heart. Help us to know how to reach them, love them, train them, correct them, direct them. People would see how we love our children, how we help our children, how we're affectionate to our kids. We bless them instead of hitting them, and we talk to them rather than yelling at them. That we act and live out, that people are watching our life. I went to a baseball game with Pastor Philip and Jenny to watch Will play ball back in the summer. And you know, Pastor Philip's pretty animated and he's involved. But I will tell you, he's just a passionate fan. And in a little league baseball game, that the head of the Parks and Recreation had to come over and talk to the parents to say, you have to settle down. You've got to quit yelling. You've got to quit doing these things. And afterwards, that coaches and people get in a literal fight and they pushed each other. I'm thinking, and you know what? We see the 2020s and all those, how it happens. God, let Christian parents act different. Let us be an example. Watch, come and see. Follow me. There's something about this that is so powerful. Who have you invited into your life? Maybe not saying, hey, come into my life. Hey, watch this. But who Who have you hung around with? Who do you reach out to? I had multitudes of people. My dad, friends, pastors, coaches that allowed me to be a part of their life. That you will allow them to be a part of your life. Hey, come to small group with me. Hey, come to church with me. Hey, let's get our kids together and go to the park. Let's grab some coffee. Why don't we go to the beach for a while? I just don't think some people understand that the life that you live is so appealing and so compelling. There's something about someone who's authentic, who is genuine, who loves God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. They're not a condemning, putting down, being arrogant. They just love God. And their love for God is like Jesus, and it's contagious. And it makes you want to rise up and be a better person because it makes you want to live more holy. I believe with all of my heart that there's something compelling about people who love God. And if you're real, that we could touch a world to say, come and see what God is doing in my life. And then come and see what God's doing in my church. My church is a comeback church. My church was sucking air. I mean, it was worse than Pastor Fred on a 300-yard swim. We were drowning. But my church, God has brought life to a church that was down and out, who had been sucker punched by the devil. Hey, you ought to come to my church. Do you know at my church, there's probably $600,000 to $700,000 worth of improvements from a children's theater to the remodel in the other building to the remodel of this sanctuary to the remodel of that foyer and offices that have all been paid for in cash, not because look at this facility, but because we care about people and we want to present the very best we can to minister to our people and to minister to our community. Amen? That's why we did those things. Don't ever think it's about stuff. It's always and will always be about people. You should come and see what God is doing. Did you hear that song about how he's healing hearts and how he's bringing hope and setting people free? Come and see what God is doing. People love Jesus. People love Jesus. Say, oh, there's hypocrites. Sure, there's hypocrites. There's hypocrites in every church. Well, Pastor, what do you think about hypocrites? Listen, I know they're in church. I'm glad they're in church. At least they hear the gospel. Maybe they'll change. Amen? We don't want to have people that are not living their faith, but there's always going to be hypocrites. Don't allow that lie to be perpetuated. That's just a part of it. We're trying to help. We're trying to get. And all of us has walked through some type of hypocritical stage where our life hasn't matched up to our talk. God help us. Well, there, you know, come and see. There's weird people at my church. Yeah, there's weird people here. I tell you all the time, if you're weird and you're a Christian, you were weird before you became a Christian. But there's people here who love Jesus and their lives are being changed by Jesus. There are people here with hurts and habits and hang-ups and they're being changed by Jesus. There are families that have been reunited. There's a children's ministry where kids are worshiping and learning and memorizing scripture. There's a youth ministry that's passionate about winning souls and missions. There's men and women. I thank God that this church is full of men who love Jesus Christ and who are unashamed of Jesus. You reach a man, you'll reach a family. Thank God he's given us men in this place and women who love the Lord. There's worship that's alive. There's a pastor. How about that pastor? Somebody say amen. I just seen if he was awake, okay? That's really not. You can tell people he's not perfect, but he does love Jesus. And he's unashamed to stand up in front of his church and say, I love the Lord with all my heart. and let me tell you about Christ. Let me tell you about Jesus who died on the cross. Come to my church, because my pastor's not afraid to give an altar call, and he's not afraid to confront sin, and he's not afraid to challenge people, but he loves people. Amen? Come and see what God's doing in my life. Come and see what God is doing in my church. That's how he's going to grow us and build us. And then it's follow me. Follow me. Let me say this concerning follow me. And it's this. Jesus doesn't follow you. You follow him. I don't always like, because I have an agenda, but I'm gonna tell you something. There's people here in this room today, if you will follow his agenda, if you'll say, Lord, it's not about you following me, it's about me following you, it'll be a new day. It'll be fresh life for you. There'll be a joy. I think the reason that so many people feel such weight and heaviness is they're trying to get God to agree with them. And the issue is come and see and follow me. Follow after him. Follow after his teachings. Amen? But God, I want to go to this school, and I want to go to this college. But God, I don't want to obey mom and dad. God, I want to drink, and I want to get high, and I want to party. God, I don't want to obey my teachers and my coach. God, I don't want to hear the preacher and the youth pastor. You've heard me say this, but God, she's hot. So's hell. Just seeing if you're awake there. But God, and if we'll just say, God, what's the answer? Not my will, but your will. But your will. Some of us are so unfulfilled because we're trying to shape God into our image. You want the peace and joy of the Christian life, but you're unwilling to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He died on the cross of Calvary. He took all of your sins in his body on the cross, on the tree, substitutionary death. Not so I could turn around and do what I want, but so he could be my Savior and my Lord. It's not just believing in Jesus. It's not easy believism or just praying a prayer. It is about following, surrendering, submitting our life to him. I would go so far as to say, if you're not following Jesus, you should be concerned. If you're not walking with Jesus, I would be concerned. Sin is going somewhere that Jesus isn't leading us. Sin is missing the mark, and it is about surrender. And so follow me is the next step. And don't leave until you take that next step. That next step for some people in this room today is to commit your life to Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross, took your sins in his body on the tree. He's made that sacrificial death for you. It's to surrender and to submit, to say, Jesus, yes, I feel that Holy Spirit tug in my heart. For some of you this morning, the next step is to recommit your life. You once served him, once followed him with everything you had, but you're no longer. You've grown cold and you're distant. For some in this room, it's to pray. It's to start consuming his word. We talk about his word, the value of his word, Wednesday nights. And if you come Wednesday night, we're talking about depression, and we're talking about anxieties, and we're talking about fear. We have been these last 3 weeks. But we just gave, last week, all we did was went from scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture of what the Lord has to say in following after him. To read God's word as a love letter to us. What are you wanting to say to me? Not what are you wanting to say to someone else? It's funny, everybody always has a word for someone else. What's God want to say to you? It's to love him. Some of you, it's water baptism. Some of you need to go home, get a change of clothes, come back and be baptized today. You need to follow after him in baptism. For some, it's a small group. For some, it's to start tithing and giving. For some, it's to start inviting. There's always a next step. Come and see and follow me. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Island Church Podcast. For more information, visit islandchurch.tv.